We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
You know, that's a question. That's a very important question. Is there one in here? I mean, you often think about that. I think about it all the time. Is there one in here that does not know Jesus as Savior? Is there one in here that is still, for whatever the reason, is resisting and refusing and not allowing the Spirit of God to just simply with childlike faith take over? You know, we as people are rebellious in nature. We're humans. We have a tendency, we're prone to wonder. We're prone to just do our own thing. That is a natural fallenness that each one of us have. If you got your Bibles, go with me over to the book of Numbers. We're in Numbers this week. Numbers is a story of, actually it takes right at 40 years to tell the whole story. Two different censuses are taken. There's a census taken in chapter 1, and then there's another census taken in chapter 26. And one may wonder, why are there two censuses? Because there's two different groups of people. And it's because of rebellion. It's because of complaining. It's because of that fallen tendency that each and every one of us have. And you know, it's so easy to get caught up on our mistakes and get caught up on our failure and miss the more important. I mean, us failing and humanity missing the mark is just the norm. It is, but we get caught up in that. We're like, I'm not good enough. I mess up. We mess up. Yeah, all through the scripture they mess up. All through this. The entire book of Numbers is about God's literal chosen people who he had brought out of Egypt, and he is leading them to the promised land. They're here at the base of Mount Sinai. They've gotten the Ten Commandments. They've gotten the Word. They've gotten exactly how they are to be living, and they're about to set out on this journey for the very first time, and they start complaining. All through it, they complain. All through it, they complain about their leadership. Leadership complains about leadership. They complain about the food. There's no water. They complain all the time. But one thing is God is faithful. God never takes his hand off of his people. We talk about Jonah. We serve a God of second and third and fourth chances. We serve a God who is so loving and so holy and so long-suffering. As you read this book, as you read the Word of God, as you look and see, there are consequences to sins, but we are here. If the whole earth were to start singing the praise of the Lord, how many people, if the whole earth would start singing, if all creation just started singing out the praise of God, how many of us would literally miss that chorus because our eyes weren't where they should be? How many of us would be, I mean, think about it. I mean, if the whole creation started singing, how many of us would start complaining because we don't like that music? How many of us would start complaining because, hey, they took my spot? How many of us would start complaining because, hey, I don't think it should be done that way, or, hey, I don't think a pine tree should sound like that? And our eyes would be off of where it should be. Our hearts would be once again being robbed of the glory of God and the goodness of God and the holiness of God. That's not new, church. We are selfish, self-centered, broken, fallen people. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is a universal truth. And there's not one of us yet that has outgrown that. We're all susceptible to the most heinous and the worst. When we think for one moment that we're incapable of going there, then Scripture says, take heed lest you fall. We're all capable of doing just like these men and women did in the book of Numbers. They complained, they bickered, they rebelled, they disobeyed, and there were consequences to it all. Many didn't get into the promised land. That's why there were two censuses. Census in the first in chapter 1 was everybody. Census in chapter 26 is after all the people 20 and above died. Why did they die, Brother Shannon? Because of rebellion? Because of disobedience? They didn't get to see the promised land because they disobeyed. They rebelled against a holy and righteous God. But here we sit today. Here we are today with another chance. Why are you here today? Why are we waking up today? Think about it. We take it so for granted that we're just going to get up and go. A lot of you are wearing your green this morning for St. Patrick's Day. You probably didn't think about that green this morning. You probably planned ahead, didn't you? We take it for granted, don't we? I'm wearing this tomorrow, as if tomorrow is a given. It's not given. Life's not given. It's precious. It's a gift. If we got what we deserve, think about it. If we got what we deserved, none of us would be here. We would all have done passed away. We would have all done been taken to our forever home, either in the presence of God for all of eternity or in the absence of God for all of eternity. But we're still here today. Book of Numbers, a lot of people say, well, wonder why they didn't get to go in because of disobedience. Go to chapter 14. Numbers 14, there's so much here. There's so much in this book as you read through this week, as we think about it, we're getting toward Easter, y'all. Easter, when God sent His Son Jesus to this earth. God sent Jesus to this earth to take the punishment that you and I deserve, to take the consequences of our sin and our rebellion and our disobedience. Just like there in Leviticus, and the transfer, the atonement was made. Christ is our all-sufficient sacrifice. He is enough. He paid the punishment. We don't have to live under the wrath of God. We don't have to. We simply trust. People say, yeah, but I gotta be perfect. No, you can't be perfect. Do you hear that? You hear that? You can't be perfect. None of us are. These are God's own people we're about to read about. These are God's own people that He rescued out of Egypt. He did all those plagues to Pharaoh to get these guys out of captivity. These are people that God said, I'm going to make you my own, and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. These are that group of people. In chapter 13, verse 17, when Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, then go into the hill country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they're few or many, how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Or are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land. I mean, Moses is sending people ahead. These are spies, these 12 spies he's sending into the land. And he says, look, just go check it out. What's it like? They come back when they return from spying out the land, verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron. to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey." Well, duh, that's what God said it was going to do. The point here, listen, the whole point is they're going to the promised land. They've done been brought out of captivity. They've done seen God on the mountain. They've done experienced miracle after miracle after miracle. These are God's chosen people. And they know where they're going, and notice what they start saying. Of course it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. God said it would. Nevertheless, verse 28, nevertheless, human nature. Let me say something to you. You will never outgrow human nature on this side of eternity. You will never outgrow it. You will never outgrow your tendencies. You will never outgrow your fallenness. Our bent to destruction, our bent to sin, we won't outgrow it. But what happens when we allow the Spirit of God to come and take over, what happens is we start surrendering our wills no longer to our own fallen natures, not only to our own selfish natures and wills and wants and desires. We no longer want to do what we want to do, and it sickens us. It literally sickens our souls when we do the things we know we should not do. Romans 7 tells us that. The things that we're doing, we don't want to do, and the stuff that we know we shouldn't do, that's what we wind up doing. It's universal. It's universal. They know it's good, nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. You got to remember context here. They're telling all the people, the spies are coming back. It's report time. They're giving the report. They've come back. Hey, everybody, let's go find out what they have to say. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living in by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And look at verse 30. Then Caleb tried. He tried. He said he quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overtake it." But the men who had gone up with him, who were these men? God's chosen people. Who were these men? Men that had heard that, hey, you're going to take the land. Men that had heard, "I'm going to take you out of captivity and I'm going to put you in a land flowing with milk and honey. It will happen. You will worship me here on this mountain. It will literally happen." Men who heard that. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours it and its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, and the sons of Anak are the part of the Nephilim, and we became as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. I mean, these guys come back. Who are these? These are men who should know better. These are men who have seen God, who have heard the word of God. These are people just like us, and guess what they're doing? They're falling. They're failing. They're making mistakes miserably. And there's consequences. Keep reading verse 14. Then all the congregation. Remember all them people that came out? Remember all them people that came out of their houses? Hey, the spies are back. Let's go get a report. Hey, honey, hurry up. Let's go find out what's going on. Every one of them, Scripture says. Then all the congregation, chapter 14, verse 1, lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would that we have died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it have not been better for us to return to Egypt?" Notice verse 4. So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Let's go back. God's obedience costs something. If we're not careful, every single one of us in 2024, if we're not careful, we will all go back. Every one of us. We will go back to the familiar. We will go back to the normal. We will go back to what's warm and fuzzy to us. We will go back to the comfortable. We will go back to what we know so well. But that's not what God's calling us to. Obedience and following Him takes us to places that we may not feel comfortable with. It puts us in places to where we have to, literally, guys, here's what we have to do. We have to submit. And that's what people don't want to do. That's what our flesh does not want to do. It doesn't want to submit. It doesn't want to surrender. Nobody, listen to me, nobody wants to put anybody else first. It's universal. Me first. My way first. My wants first. My will first. Me, 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 me. And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, love your neighbor. It's amazing how God commands us to take our eyes off of self and to put them on Him. Take our eyes off of self and to put it on others. There's war that's raging in the lives of every single one of us. Every one of us going to go back. We do. Listen, we say, "Oh, Brother Shannon, I don't want to go back." I hear that a lot. That's a normal churchy statement. "Oh, I don't want to go back." No, you don't want to go back, but you still, here's the deal. You don't want to go back there, but you act like you're still there. No, you don't want to go back to that old way of life, but here's the thing. You're still acting like that old way of life. Your words say you don't want to go back, but your actions are like there. Because it's easy here. It's easy to rebel. It's easy to throw stones at others. We throw stones at Peter. We throw stones at these guys. We throw stones at every one of them. I mean, here's the deal. Put yourself as one of the spies. What would you do? "Oh, I'd have been Caleb and Joshua." Really? Really? Notice what they say. Our wife and our kids. Wife and kids. We're going to have to suffer. We know what we had in Egypt. We know the food we had. We know the water we had. We know. Look over at chapter 13. Look at something. I'm trying to tell you, we're a mess up. Now look at chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. Listen to this. Verse 1, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And the people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them." Listen to verse 4 and forward. "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will get us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Guys, I'm not making this up. You're reading it for yourself. That's how we are. We want to go back. We want it tastes good. We want what we want. They are literally calling out cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlics. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. As if what God's provided ain't good enough. If you're here, God's provided. And there's two choices to be in right now. You can either be walking in disobedience, or you can be walking in obedience. Walking in obedience to praising and honoring and glorifying God for all that we have and everything, the abundance of lavishness, or we can be going back, or going over there, or going to what they got, or going to what she's got, or going to what he's got. But look at what you got. Look at your life.
I'm not even talking about take your eyes off your wife and kids. Take your wife off your sons and daughters. Take your wife off your husband. Take your wife off, eyes off of all that and look at you. Because here's the deal. It's just us. I'm not going to stand before God with my family. I'm going to stand before God with me. And I'm going to have to give an account for me. And me, Lord God, you have lavished your goodness out on me. You have been gracious to me. You woke me up today, Father God. I praise you.
And look at how you've lavished. Health and strength and abilities and giftings and relationships and family and friends. And it just flows, outflows. Look at how lavished we are. Why would we ever want to go back? Why would we ever think that we know better than God? Go with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Church, we are in a war every single day. The enemy is waging a war for your mind, for your thoughts, for your heart. For he knows if you're a Christian, he knows he can't take your soul, but he can try to make you a miserable, useless wreck. He can make you a miserable soldier in the army of God. He can make you useless. He can render you ineffective in the kingdom. If our minds are off of Christ and somewhere else, and we're chasing what could have and should have and ought have, and look over here and look over there, then how in the world is our eyes on Christ if we're just micromanaging and playing God down here? Galatians chapter 5. But I say, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. How do we do this, Brother Shannon? What did Caleb and Joshua have that the other 10 didn't? They kept their eyes on Christ. They kept their eyes on God. They kept their eyes on the promise. They kept their eyes on the hope. They kept their eyes off of what the world and the noise and the lies and the deception, and they simply kept focusing on the word of the Lord that said, I am going to provide. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. There's a war raging in you right now. There's a war raging. Do I listen and do I submit? Do I surrender? Do I listen and do what the Word of God and the will of God wants me to do and the Spirit of God inside of me is calling me to do? Or do I do what I want to do? Therein lies the war, and that war happens every single day, all through the day. There's not many moments I can think of outside of maybe being asleep that we're not faced with a conscious choice of surrendering my will to Him. But I say, if you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. People say, well, what's it look like, Brother Shannon? How will I know? What's the test? Give me a test. Let me be able to look at my life. This Bible is hard. This Bible, I don't understand it. Well, here's simply how you do it. Is this you? Does these characteristics have strongholds? Do they have tendencies? Do they have places in your life, in my life? Are there areas to where, listen, are there areas that when you hear this and you close your eyes and you're there before the God of this universe, or you're riding down a road and you're having a conversation and you say, God, I surrender my life, Lord, thoroughly. I surrender my public life, my private life, my secret life, my marriage, my everything. Are there in any one of those compartmentalized places that we think that we have control over, my work life, to where now the deeds of the flesh are evident, to where these tendencies are evident? Immorality? Impurity? Sensuality? Is it? Is it in there? Idolatry? Listen, idol worship is not just worshiping a carving. We're idol worshipers at heart. Sorcery, enmity, strife. Is there strife? Jealousy? Outburst of anger? Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. People get caught up on that. That statement should bother all of us. Practice. What does it mean to practice those things? Context there is you practice habitually without any remorse. You can just do it without any conviction. You can just do it and not think nothing about it. It's just a, listen, I'm going to call strife and I don't care. I mean, who cares what the Holy Spirit says? Who cares? I'm just going to rebel. I'm going to disobey. I'm going to be jealous. I'm just going to allow that to continue to manifest and make itself known and be a part of me. And doggone it, I don't care. I'm just going to practice it. That's what it means. With no conviction. With no conviction. Why we look out across the church and we see hundreds of people in church and we say, every one of them's a believer. Really? Really? I going to tell you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. As believers, as a person who has trusted Christ, when we comb through our life and we open up ourselves and we lay ourselves bare to the one we have to do with, and when we examine our lives and when there are immorality found, we repent. It breaks our hearts. When there's impurity and sexuality and idolatry and sorcery and enmity and strife and jealousy and outbursts of anger and disputes and dissensions and factions and envy and drunkenness and carousing and carousing, and when those things are seen, and when the Spirit of God says, hey, that's not who you are. I didn't save you for that. You repent and you say, Lord God, I repent of my sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You being alive today, you being here today is by the grace of God alone. Because every one of us have, our compartments are full of every single one of those. Our compartments are, and don't sit there and think, well, I don't have that problem. Yes, you do. We all do. It's Christ who redeems. It's Christ who replaces. It's Christ who we start there, we go back to, or we let our mind drift, and the Spirit of God says, hey, that's not who you are. If it were not for the Spirit of God, we would indulge. If it were not for the Spirit of God, how messed up would we be? We would hunger for, we would chase after, we would pursue, we would do it without care. We would do it with no conviction. We would just do it and do it and do it and do it some more. Praise God for conviction. Praise God for Jesus. Praise God for forgiveness. Praise God for hope. There's nobody in this room too far gone. You hear that? You're here today. There's nobody in this room too far gone. We all have this. It's like the children of Israel, the spies. Listen, they didn't just, those 12 spies, those were handpicked. These weren't dudes hid off in the corner somewhere. These were the cream of the crop. And 10 of them come back wimps. 10 of them come back literally denying the God of this universe and saying, He can't do this. We're scared. And yet God is so faithful. God is so good, y'all. You're not too far gone. Let me read you something. The Bible says this. It's a universal truth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's a universal tendency. It's a universal problem. Sin is universal. I'm a sinner. I have every single one of those. That war rages in me regularly. Every single one of those tendencies I have. I hate it. Outburst of anger, I hate it. Jealousy, I hate it. Disputes, I hate it. I don't succumb to it, but it pops up. I hate it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The universal problem. The wages of sin is death. Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What in the world does that mean? That means over in John 3:16, the verse we all know so well, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, even mess ups like me, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Bible says, people say, Brother Shannon, how do you do that? What do? I want to trust Christ. I want to believe in Jesus. What do? Well, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be. It says you will be. It doesn't say if you do enough good, it'll all work out. No, it says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Where the heart a person believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, church. Listen, you. Nobody's perfect. Just like they were mess-ups back then, they're mess-ups today. Just like there's mess-ups in the pews, there's mess-ups in the pulpit as well. But we're not dependent on our goodness, we're dependent on Christ. I'm not dependent on my ability, I'm dependent on what Jesus did. This morning, God woke you up to hear that. This morning, God woke you up and gave you today. He didn't have to. But he gave you today. There's a war raging. There's a war raging inside of you. You can't do this on your own. It's Christ in you. Surrender. Stop running. And simply surrender. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for this room. God, I don't know who's in here. I don't know who needed that. But Lord, I pray that if there's just one, God, that thinks for whatever the reason that they've messed up too much. God, look at all the people you used in your word. God, they are all mess ups. God, you don't look for perfect people. You look for people that are surrendered, who are willing, who are broken, and who are hungry, and who just simply desire, I want to please you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to make much of you, King Jesus. God, you take rejects and you transform them into soldiers. God, have mercy on us all. Lord, I pray that if there's someone in this room that is running still, that right now they would simply, in the quietness as the music plays, in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, they would simply say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit it with all of my heart. And I repent. Forgive me, Jesus. Come into my life. Save me. Be my Lord. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of rebelling. I simply repent and trust. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for coming into my life. And from this day forward, Lord God, I live for you. This day forward, you are my Lord. From this day forward, you are my King and my Master. Give you my life. I'm brand new in you. God, I praise you for salvation. I praise you, Jesus, for the gift of a new day. I praise you for second chances. I praise you, God, for Holy Spirit that convicts us when Lord, we read through that list and we see that we are guilty. But Christ took our guilt He took our punishment. He took our sin and he bore it there on Calvary. He bore every rebellion. He bore everything. Thank you, Jesus. God, we love you. God, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.